You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us on this Sunday edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Brighton, Chelmsford and Worcester on this edition. We've also got a good days of racing over at the Curragh in Ireland. We'll be covering every meeting live for you on William Hill's Racing Radio on Sunday afternoon with Ollie Pimlott, Rory Delaghi and Alistair Whitehouse-Jones in the studio. But first things first, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast today to reflect on Friday's action on the Knavesmire and look ahead to Sunday racing is Andrew Mount. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Not bad.
Good. Have you enjoyed the week's racing at York?
I have indeed, yep. Can't say I've found many winners, but yeah, it's been some cracking stuff as usual.
Yeah, it's not the easiest of meetings and of courses to find winners. I tend to, every year, everyone I speak to, you're doing pretty well if you've had a few winners over the week.
Yeah, that's right. I managed to dig out the Kevin Ryan 16-1 shot on day one, and that sort of like put me ahead. And but I've managed to dribble some of the profits away since.
let's look back on Friday's racing on the Knavesmire. Then we'll deal with a few of the feature races. We'll start with the 2:30, the Lonsdale Cup, the Group 2 event, and ran over 2 miles. Very often these sort of staying races end up being a bit of a tactical affair, but this one was quite straightforward, really. George Baker grasped the nettle on board Quest for More, led, went from the front and made every yard a winning one.
That's right. I was in the studio for this race and we talked about the lack of obvious front runner. And I thought, somebody might be able to make all. And as you say, it was Quest for More bouncing back from a poor effort at Glorious Goodwood when, unplaced behind Big Orange. He'd gone close in that race previously, so it was good to see him back to winning ways. And, another crack at the Melbourne Cup could be on the cards. He ran well in the race last year, finishing 9th of 24. It was an 80-1 shot and only went down by about 4 lengths.
Yeah, I saw Roger Charlton's interview after the race. He seemed, he didn't rule anything out, but he seemed a little bit negative on the Melbourne Cup and perhaps fancied the stayers race in Dubai as an alternative option for Quest for More. But it was a very positive ride from George Baker. Of those in behind, Palisator is not the easiest of ride. He's a very frustrating individual, but Ashin Murphy seemed to strike up a really good rapport with the horse, gets the best out of him, and it was probably another step forward from Palisade. It was another good run.
That's right. I've got a theory about this one. He's probably best in small fields. I think he's had something like 8 runs in fields of 7 or fewer runners now, and 6 wins, a second and a fourth. So, seems best when he's not crowded in his races. But he's not 100% straightforward, though, is he? He can get very buzzy in the preliminaries. And I think he's entered at the Long Distance Cup Group 2 event run at Champions Day in October.
Yes, that looks the next destination for Palisator. Just a couple of the others to mention then. Wicklow Brave travelled really well in the race, but just didn't seem to pick up. He's ended up finishing 3rd. And a word on Trip to Paris as well, who obviously won the Ascot Gold Cup in 2015, had that injury. It looked a decent reappearance over an inadequate trip last time. He might have been the disappointment in the race, though, Trip to Paris.
Yes, indeed. I mean, he started favourite on Friday, going off at 130, so only just favourite, though. And he's not looked the same horse in 2 runs back this year. But, I guess he did have quite a long time off over the winter. Last ran at the end of November and then didn't reappear until mid-July. And I suppose he's got bigger fish to fry later in the year, so it might be a case of bringing him along gradually. Plus, Ed Dunlop's only had 1 winner from 44 runners at York.
Right.
So perhaps he wasn't fully wound up still. And we'll see better things from him later in the season.
Yeah, quite possibly. 35 minutes later then, we had the Group 3 City of York Stakes. This one won by the filly Nemorelia of Jeremy Nasidajad. The three-year-old's getting the weight for age allowance, the filly's allowance as well. So it was getting weight all round. She looks like could be a potential Group 1 performer in Group 3 company yesterday. Did it pretty nicely.
That's right. She's only had 5 runs below Group 1 level since her debut. 4 wins and a second. And the second coming on a second career start when probably still green. This was her first win against colts as well. All her previous wins had come against other fillies. But it was a very smooth performance. She was well back, 5-2 into 15-8. And, she has placed in group company before, finishing sort of second, third, second and fourth. So I don't see why she won't be able to break a duck at the top level in the near future, possibly at the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, she could be another one, as you say there, who's set for globe-trotting later on in the season and might be plying her trade, certainly in the back end of this season, outside of Britain. We'll move on to the feature race on Friday, then the Group 1 Nunthorpe Stakes that was run at 3:40 over 5 furlongs. Mecca's Angel won the race for a second year in succession for Michael Dodds and Paul Mulrennan, beating the heavily backed Limato into second of Henry Candy's. First of all, a superb performance again from Mecca's Angel. She looks, if anything, a little bit better than she was last year.
Yeah, the feature of this race was the build-up, and every time there was some rain or a dark cloud gathered over, Mecca's Angel would be bet. And then it was like, oh no, the sun's come out again, quick lap on Limato. And it was back and forth. And with hindsight, we should have just done the reverse forecast and watched the race. It would have been quite comfortable viewing. And the computer straight forecast paid £11.86 for Mecca's to beat Limato. But yeah, it was a very smooth performance, won by 2 lengths. And this is a mare who very rarely runs a bad race at the 5 furlong trip, and possibly just didn't handle the track at Ascot. There's, a lot of horses just seem to run below par there and then bounce back when they run elsewhere, and that certainly seemed to be the case with the Michael Dodds trained mare. And you look in the last 2 years now, a record is first, second by a neck. That unplaced Ascot effort, first. So, she's either won or just been beaten narrowly.
Yes.
For the last 2 years. So, fantastic mare. And I think she'll be used for breeding purposes at the end of this season, and we won't see her racing again.
Yeah, I think she's ended up on Irish Champions Day, I think. But then after that, I think it's likely that she'll be retired to breed. Interesting, after the race, and before the race as well, David Metcalf was the owner of Mecca's Angel, keen to stress that she's not actually a soft ground dependent horse. She just wants the sting taking out the top of the ground. Good to firm wouldn't necessarily suit, but it actually acts very well on a good going, and good ground is probably her optimum. I suppose we all sort of build this picture that she wants soft ground.
Yeah, we tend to see it in black and white.
Yes.
Fast ground or soft ground.
And you're one or the other.
Horses who want good to soft or good, or somewhere in between that, we tend not to have a word for their preference, really. So.
Yes, correct. And Limato in second place, no real excuses in second. It was it was a good run. Might have wanted it a little bit quicker, but you couldn't have too many disagreements on the ground there, going on good ground. Had every chance to reel in Mecca's Angel and just wasn't good enough on the day.
Well, it's his first run of 5 furlongs as well.
Yes,
and,
true.
Having been running over 6 furlongs, 7 furlongs and even a mile, for most of his recent starts, it was a pretty good effort, really, to take on such good animals and finish second on the first run over 5. So, loss, no cast in defeat. Must also give a mention to my pick in the race, Thesme, who finished 5th at 66-1. So, unfortunately, I didn't realise William Hill were offering 5 places and bet this one each way with another firm.
Schoolboy.
More for me, exactly, schoolboy era. She's run a great race from the front for Nigel Tinkler.
Yes, certainly has. That's the reflection on Friday then. Across the whole week as a whole, of course, we've still got Saturday's action to come. Thus far, recording the podcast around about Saturday lunchtime. What's been the highlight of the week for you so far? Did it come on Friday or was it earlier in the week? Obviously, from a punting perspective, Syfax will be right up there. From a performance perspective?
I was going to say Chelmsford on Sunday, actually, from a punting perspective. But from a performance perspective, it has to be Mecca's Angel. Yes. Absolutely brilliant.
We'll move on to Sunday's racing. Now that we've got four races picked out to tackle on Sunday, we begin with the 2:30 at Brighton. This is a 5 furlong sprint handicap, a Class 4 event, with 9 runners set to take their chance in the race. Talk us through this bunch, Andrew.
Yeah, this is a cracking race. The first thing that leaps off the page is the likelihood of a very strong pace, because you've got lunatic front runners Pucon and King Crimson in here, and you know they're likely to take each other on. Pucon won here in August 2012, but that was the last time this one won away from Lingfield, where he's got a particularly good record. He did go close at Bath last time, finishing third, but he's there to be shot at again. And as I say, particularly if taken on by King Crimson. So King Crimson is unbeaten in 2 starts at Brighton, but all 6 career wins have come when being described as making all the running. So I just wonder which one of these is going to lead. And, you know, you'd think maybe, you know, one of them are going to, you know, one might sort of, you know, be ridden with a little more restraint, let the other one go on, but possibly not. And I think the sensible thing to do is assume they're both going to like go like the clappers like they normally do and go for something else in the race. And the one I've come down in favour of is last year's winner, Wasim Faris. Made all in this race 12 months ago, but does seem best sat just behind a strong pace. And as we discussed, that one, that certainly looks likely. And he's only raced here 3 times in his life. First, second over 7 furlongs, a trip he didn't stay, and first. So 2 wins from 2 at sprint trips at Brighton. He's not won yet for this yard, but this is his first run for Joe Tewart in Class 4 company. He hasn't run at this level since winning at Nottingham last October in a big field. So back in Class 4 with a strong pace likely. Last year's winner, Wasim Faris, is likely to go extremely close.
It's the top weight then for Andrew, Wasim Faris. That is the choice in the 2:30 at Brighton. We go over to Worcester now for a couple of races over the obstacles. We begin with the 2:50, which is a handicap chase. 2 miles a trip here. 7 runners line up for this Class 2. Some good animals on display here, Andrew.
Yeah, this is fascinating. We've got a 4-year-old ex-French trained filly trained by David Pipe now. Won her last 3 starts in France, and I did have a look at some stats to do with David Pipe when he runs 4-year-olds over fences. In non-handicaps, he's won with 11 of the 22, 50% strike rate. You'd make a profit of 31% if you back them blind. But in handicaps, there's only 6 wins from 40 and a loss of over 50% on turnover. So this 4-year-old's making a British debut in handicap company. Obviously, we'll know more when the betting's revealed, closer to race time. But I'm going to take her on and side instead with Can I Call You Back for Evan Williams. This one has been progressing nicely over fences. Was well beaten on his reappearance at Warwick in May, but since then has run a 20-1 fourth at Fos Las, a very close third at the same venue, and then next time out won at Uttoxeter and followed that up with a 7-length win at Newton Abbott. And after that Newton Abbott win, jockey Paul Maloney said this track would not really have suited as he does not do a lot in front. So perhaps if he can be held on to for a little longer, and you know, Worcester might suit him, and he can complete the hat trick.
Okay, Andrew's choice in the 2:50 race. Then we stay at Worcester now for another race there. This is the 4:20, a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. 10 runners are going down for this one. And I suppose we've got almost a similar story here in the fact that we've got a horse in Alcock and Brown who is a 4-year-old, relatively unexposed over the obstacles, but has already seemed to have struck up a real affinity with Worcester.
Yes, indeed. And it is a venue that does throw up, you know, course experts, as you would expect. And, you know, bidding to give informed Dan Skelton another winner. And say was sort of second here on debut for the yard, going down by just over a length to Mr. Kit Kat, coming late. And then was ridden a little more prominently when landing a maiden hurdle here. Next time, and then follow that up with a comfortable win over Nicky Steele when odds on. So, as you say, he's got a real affinity for the track and switched to handicap company. I think this one is going to be difficult to beat.
Alcock and Brown then at the selection for Dan and Harry Skelton. Of course, it's been a good few days for the entire Skelton family. Dad Nick
in
gold medal winning form.
Yeah, it's incredible. Brazil. He's 58, I think, isn't he?
Yes.
He's the oldest British Olympian since somebody won the shooting in like 1900 or something like that.
Yeah. And the first one in absolute age to win an individual show jumping medal of any colour. So,
he retired with a broken neck in the year 2000 and had a hip replacement a few years ago and has come back to do this. And I thought I was doing well making my reappearance in the Five-a-Side Football League a couple of weeks ago.
Indeed. Hopefully it can be a good couple of days then for the Skelton family. Alcock and Brown, the choice in the 420 at Worcester. We go to Chelmsford for the final race on today's podcast. This is their 340, a 6-furlong handicap on the poly track here. 14 runners going down for it. This looks a little bit harder to my untrained eye.
Yeah, this is a cracker. Chelmsford deserve credit for putting on such good prize money for these races. I mean, even their class 4 0-80 handicaps are worth sort of getting on for £9,000 to the winner.
Yes.
And this class 3 0-95 carries a first prize of £16,000. They've been rewarded with a good field, as you'd expect. And the one I'm going with is Course Expert Gentleman, who's had excuses for his last two defeats. He found the drop to 5 furlongs against him when keeping on into fourth at Dundalk, and then failed to cope with the return to turf when beating only a couple home at Yarmouth last time. But he really loves Chelmsford. He's won 4 times from 8 starts here. And if we only consider his Chelmsford runs over 6 furlongs to 7 furlongs, it's 4 wins, a second, and a refuse to race from 6 starts. And he hasn't shown a tendency to refuse or play up in the stalls again since that that run. So it's safe to say we can ignore that. He's well drawn in stall 3, gets on well with Josephine Gordon, and should get a good lead from Brother Tiger, who's drawn in stall 1.
Gentleman is the choice then in the 340. Phil McEntee and Josephine Gordon teaming up with that one. Just give us a quick recap then, please, Andrew, and spin us through your 4 selections for the races we've looked at on Sunday.
Right, the 2:30 at Brighton, I'm with Wasim Farris. Then we're on to Worcester, where it's for the 2:50, where it's Can I Call You Back? Sticking at Worcester for the 4:20 with Alcock and Brown. And then the 3:40 at Chelmsford, Course Expert Gentleman.
Excellent stuff. There you are, the thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of Sunday's racing. And you can hear every race live on Sunday in the company of Ollie Pimnoth, Rory Delargin, Alice the White House Jones, live on Racing Radio. We've got Brighton, Chelmsford and Worcester covered alongside a good card from across the Irish Sea at the Curragh. Thank you for that, Andrew. Best of luck with selections and enjoy the racing.
Thanks, Sam. You too.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.